Welcome to Undercard Supercast, number Lawrence Taylor. I am your host, founder, editor, and Floyd Mayweather gambling advisor of Undercard Superstar, Luke Irwin. Joining me tonight, his two least favorite teams in the NFL are the Cardinals and the Saints, Ben Cohn. The last time he kicked the ball, it belonged to a black market dealer who sold him a bad surveillance camera system, Connor Dillon. His favorite X-Man was probably Jubilee, Earl Montclair. He's counting the days until next year's Super Bowl when Jay Gruden leads the Washington. Sorry, Josh. I tried. And
that is a lovely trimmed fingernail, Josh.
And lastly, despite him not actually running one, his favorite Super Bowl commercial was for Slim Jims, Nolan Howell. Dateline, East Rutherford, New Jersey. You may have heard, but there was a footed ball game this Sunday. It blew. What was to be an epic battle featuring the best offense facing off with the best defense in the league was a sloppy shit show for Denver en route to a 43-8 defeat. And what was a highly anticipated championship, it was beyond disappointing. Guys, what was the most disappointing title fight that you have seen? Ben?
I mean, there's some really bad ones, but I would have to say, in terms of really bad fights and not disappointing results, probably would go with Arlovsky Sylvia 3, because with how the first two fights went, it would hurt to be so bad. You know, that was just awful. And in terms of disappointing, personally, like, I would say Kane beating Brock. I know Connor was happy to hear that.
Brock will snarl.
Connor?
I think one of the worst title fights I've ever watched, and I forced myself to watch the entire fight, was Anderson Silva versus Talis Lides.
Talis Lides? What the hell was that?
Tidy
Whitey's. Wasn't even close.
He was having to change his Tidy Whitey's after that fight.
No, you're thinking of...
I don't know, man. That fight against Patrick Cott was pretty bad, too.
Patrick Cotty. He's on the tough Nations.
Kale Sonnen.
Kale Sonnen. That guy. He looks a little green to me. No, like, I was just really...
You guys ever hear this guy named Cock Lesnar?
Yeah, oh my god. He even has one. I heard he's pretty good.
I know, he's really happy about his name.
Oh, I always thought his name was pronounced Massive Disappointment.
Man.
You're thinking of John Lineker.
Well, no wonder he's Ben's favorite fighter then.
Oh my god.
Brock Lesnar is an anagram for MMA Batista. Okay, Connor, what was your most disappointing title fight?
Disappointing besides that, for me personally, I think I kind of want to lean towards all right. I'm going to go ahead and say it. Anderson Silva versus Chael Sonnen won. Because Chael Sonnen was so close, and then, like, his kryptonite, a sweaty man's crotch, just, like, he couldn't stop himself getting caught in that.
And it's also Josh Thompson's kryptonite.
Yeah, I was about to say that.
That was my disappointing. That was my most disappointing because I don't really like Anderson Silva. He's a phenomenal fighter. Don't get me wrong. I'm not a huge fan of him. And even with the ridiculous things Chael Sonnen was saying, I was still a fan of his. And I was just really sad.
Is he too colorful for you, Connor?
Chael Sonnen?
No. Anderson Silva too colorful of a personality?
Yeah, that's a lot of personality, let me tell you.
Earl? I'm sure you haven't seen his photo shoot.
With Burger
King?
No.
I think the most disappointing title fight for me was George St. Pierre versus Jake Shields, because if there was ever a chance for George to fight a more inept, kind of punching bag dummy of a stand-up fighter, that was the one. And, I mean, yeah, he got his eyes poked out like 13,000 times. But, I mean, if there was ever a chance for George to get off the decision train in a stand-up manner, that was the one. And it was just so tedious and plodding and unfortunate and sad.
Josh?
I thought Connor was going to steal mine for a second. But for me, it has to be Anderson Silva, Damian Maia. Watching Silva just run from him for the last two rounds was just—it was disgraceful to see a champion behaving like that. And that was in a string of bad fights. And their first trip to Abu Dhabi, they haven't been back. I think they're coming back this year, but their one trip there, that terrible fight is put on, and it was just a bad look for the middleweight title in general to have your champion behaving like that because he feels like his opponent's inferior to him or whatever it was.
At least the lightweight division earned a true champion that night.
It did. But on an honorable mention to Junior Dos Santos Kane 3, because watching Junior take that beating in person was just – that was unpleasant and hard to watch.
Earl and Josh actually took both of mine. St. Pierre and Shields was tough because I detest Jake Shields. And – he was a prime opportunity for St. Pierre to do with some John Fitch face rearranging on. And Shields, that douche canoe, did everything but take Mr. Fuji's bag and throw salt in St. Pierre's eyes. It was abhorrent, and I would love to see St. Pierre, I don't know when, in Bellator, get another shot at Shields down the line. And I also I really like JDS. I don't dislike Kane at all. I respect the hell out of him, but – and I was there in person and watching just blood fly from JDS's mouth like he was Balboa against Drago was really disheartening. A good scene afterwards, I've talked about that, you know, how, you know, JDS ran over, you know, Kane invited JDS over with his crew and took a picture with all of them, and just Junior just seemed to be totally okay. But yeah, it was very disheartening, and knowing that JDS might not ever get to that level again, certainly not while Kane is still the champion. And, of course, on a personal level, Frankie Edgar losing his title in a sham of a decision to Ben Henderson. A sham. A sham.
My 12 Days of Bindo articles, read it for a round-by-round breakdown. I watched
a sham. Speed. You think at a quarter of the speed. That was a sham.
Unlike Ben, I mean, Ben and Luke, I don't think with my heart. I think with my head. Both of them.
Nolan?
Way to state your case there, Connor.
That's what R. Kelly did. I might as well do it as well.
It's going to be hard to follow that.
R. Kelly peed on a 14-year-old girl.
I'm sure you can
follow that. Thank you, Ben. Thank you, Ben.
No, literal Ben. Literal Ben.
It's actual Ben.
It's Nolan time.
R. Kelly is an R&B singer. He wrote and performed Gotham City on the Batman and Robin soundtrack, which was a Batman movie with George Clooney.
Oh, God, that movie fucking sucks.
The R is short for Robert.
Robert Kelly?
Really?
You know what, dude?
Right, yeah, no, I'm just going to burn in this car fire. little exchange there.
Dude,
throw a little gasoline on it. Come on,
way too soon for a Paul Walker reference.
Well, it very you had to say that.
Very, very unprofessional, Nolan.
Hey,
very
it could
unprofessional.
Be worse. He could have a needle in his arm.
My momentum just went out the window like a Jersey Alder fit
time. And there's one step too far, Dylan. living the gimmick.
Habitual line stepper, Dylan.
He's a habitual line stepper.
I don't know if any title fight can be as disappointing as this moment is for me right now. God.
How was that fight against
Tom
Waller? For a certain
it's ongoing. I forgot to mention that every Ronda Rousey title fight is a massive disappointment as well.
Yes, I agree with that. Fight quality-wise, not in terms of fight quality, but Jamie Varner versus Donald Cerrone 1 disappointed me because Donald Cerrone was one of my favorite fighters. I was a WEC, got me into MMA, and having the fight end like that to a young MMA mind like myself, seemed very meh, and it soured me on Jamie Varner for quite a bit there. So that was a very disappointing title fight for me. And on a personal level...
Was it John Lineker's title shot? Oh, wait.
He won the only fight that matters, Ben. Fight with the scale.
Yeah. Bogatinov looked like a great killer taking those body shots, whatever.
Hey, Lineker even had to go to some victory to win that fight against the scale.
At least they weren't in Australia.
He's got 1-2 in fights where he makes weight.
Pride around 2006, Mark Hunt caught Fedor in Americana. And a lot of people didn't see it, but there's a Fedor Phantom tap. If you go look back at the video, I'm sure you'll be able to see it. And it's those crazy Japanese refs looking after Fedor.
Look at his tap. Look at it there. It goes back and to the left. He taps back and to the left.
And also, under unified rules, the audible screech Fedor made when he realized he was about to have his arm snapped off by Mark Hunt would have ended the fight. I understand the Yakuza and Pride had to protect their cash cow, but Mark Hunt, Pride heavyweight champion, should have happened, and it's a damned shame on a personal level.
Any Yakuza members that may be listening, that was Nolan Howell making those comments.
You can find him at Nolan Howell.
On Twitter, of course.
You can find Facebook. Him at Butch Jardine.
Saskatoon, Canada.
Let's just say you just mail one letter to Saskatoon, Canada, and that's all it is. It'll just get there. Dateline Newark, New Jersey. UFC 169, of course, was Saturday. And in honor of Peyton Manning's throws in Super Bowl 48, who gets your golden duck? And also who, unfortunately, takes home the odious, the hated, the uncouth golden poop? Ben?
Well... The Golden Duck is a toss-up between Henan Barao and Abel Trujillo. The problem is Abel Trujillo is a convicted spousal abuse or convicted of domestic abuse, so it's definitely going to go to Henan Barao. Henan Barao has now basically cleaned out his division. He beat the most credible – he beat the guy who was on a huge tear – clear number two in the division. The only problem is there's no one left for him at this point. So, and Rafael Sanzal looks like he's going to get the next shot, which is be a slaughter.
Oh, guys, real quick, breaking news. Floyd Mayweather has posted on his Twitter that he will let the fans decide who he should fight next between Amir Khan and Marcos Maidana on MayweatherPromotions.com.
Go vote Maidana, you fucks. And if you vote for Amir Khan, I'll personally come to your house and smack you with my Amir Khan hand speed.
So MayweatherPromotions.com. If Floyd is serious, and hey, the guy's a lot of things, but when he says something, it's pretty much legit. Yes, vote Maidana.
I'm going to vote Amir Khan just so that Nolan comes to my house. I want to see that.
Dude, he's wily.
I feel like Nolan's going to wind up like the Gimp in, Pulp Fiction.
Say it again, motherfucker! Say it again!
I heard you might have got a little injured MCL.
Yeah, you can't really do anything.
Stands for most.
I'm going to just jab you for five rounds.
Benjamin, who takes home your golden poop?
Golden poop. That's going to – it's really hard to pick because there are some really shitty performances. It's got to go, in my opinion, to Frank Mir. He's now on a 4-fight losing streak. He'll never be relevant again. He was outstruck. He had 5 significant strikes the whole. He had 5 strikes the whole fight, or something like that.
I believe it was 159-5. I want to say something like that.
Yeah, something like that. I mean, that's a performance that's basically says you're not able to compete with the top 10 anymore, and you need to either retire or fight bottom of the heavyweight heap, you know? And for a guy who's a former heavyweight champion, a former interim heavyweight champion, someone who's been around for well over a decade at this point, you know, that's a big deal. And I think that's why he gets the golden boot, because his career is basically at a completely different place now, and it's not in a good way.
Connor?
All right, so it's the golden duck, correct?
It is indeed.
All right, I want my golden duck to go to Ali Bagatinov. I hope I mispronounced his name.
That's the one you got right.
Oh, really? Yeah. Perfect. I want to give it to him because he came back from a disappointing second round where he was just getting torn apart by body shots, and came back and he won. And then at the end of the third round, was just sitting there like playing up the crowd. That was awesome. I don't think that he has anything for DJ, but I do think he's a legitimate top five flyweight. And my golden poop, I want to give that to, there's so many people. I want to go ahead and give this to Uriah Faber, because staying in the fetal position and throwing a thumbs up does not mean that you're working for a position. And while I think the stoppage may have been a little early, I do think Herb was in his right to stop it, because
Connor, we will get to that in the next question. Well, I do want to ask that.
Yeah, golden poop, you're out of favor.
Earl?
Even though, like you just said, we are getting to it, the golden duck goes to Herb Dean for an absolutely proper, reasonable, and understandable stoppage in the Burrell Faber title fight. The golden poop goes to one Dave Torelli for his 28-27 scorecard in the Ally Aquinta Kevin Lee match.
I still refuse to believe that's a real person. As I claimed that evening.
To a 10-8 for Kevin Lee in round two is absolutely the correct scorecard. A 10-8 for Ally Aquinta in any round is absolutely the dumbest scorecard, the most egregious scorecard that I've seen in months. And that includes 49-46 Benson Henderson over Josh Thompson. That's just an awful, awful scorecard.
I'm very liberal with 10-8 rounds, and there was just no way. There was just
that wouldn't
no
even enter my
way.
Mind as a possibility.
It wasn't close. And the golden poop? Oh, hey, listen, Indiana Jones. I don't need to get guffed by you and your hat. All right, Josh, your awards.
I'm disappointed that we've missed the chance to have the golden noodle arm. So that's what I'm calling it. Damn it.
I mean, duck kind of implies that, you know.
I don't care. Golden noodle arm.
They're throwing missiles, though.
And it's got to go to Henan Burrell. I mean, he just took the number two bantamweight in the world and just ran through him like he wasn't even there. Nobody does that to Faber. And he just put him away quick and easy, and he's as dangerous as anybody probably pound for pound in the world. And golden poop. Oh, why should I even think about it? It's John Lineker.
There it is.
Has to have his clothes stripped off of him after making weight on the second attempt. He doesn't cut his nails, and the commission has to force him to cut his nails before the fight.
Oh my God,
I mean, you can't
so
get much more
funny.
Bush league than that. That's so unprofessional. And that's pretty much it, unprofessional pretty much sums up his career. In fights where he makes weight in the UFC, he's now 1-2. And the only opponent that any of his wins are over that has a win over anyone in the UFC was over useless Ulysses Gomez. So that's the strength of John Lineker. And the celebration by Bagatinov was just tits at the end.
I do want to point out, once again, I know I tweeted it, but Josh's article where he compared Faber to Manning, this was even before the AFC Championship game, is astonishingly creepy in how accurate everything went for both components on a single weekend. Golden Duck, I'm going to probably go to – it's. I probably have to go just Burrell. It's really nothing anybody else did to really – I mean, he beat one of my least favorite fighters on the planet, which is title fight Uriah Faber, who was thrust into it after one of my favorite fighters on the planet, non-title Uriah Faber, was not supposed to be in this position. But he did, and it just – he came to fight again. He destroyed Faber, which no one does, especially not that – violently and brutally. As far as the Golden Poop, I got a twofer here. One in the ring, one out of the ring. Out of the ring first, Dana White. This useless shitbag still wants to bury every single one of his champions, and he's going systematically one by one. This time talking about how Aldo needs to be, you know, needs to get finishes to be talk about being a pound for pound great. Aldo, did Aldo get a finish? No. Would it have been nice? Sure. Jose Aldo fought a almost goddamn flawless fight. He was technically brilliant. Every strike had laser-like precision. It was a systematic ass-kicking that Lamas was mentally checked out on by the second round. Lamas was broke in the second round. He didn't try for anything. I mean, of course, in the fifth round, because he's Jose Aldo, he lost because that's what Jose Aldo does, loses fifth rounds. But it was just – Lamas wasn't coming in. Lamas was doing absolutely nothing. And Jose's a champion. He doesn't need to rush and try to finish somebody just because, you know, just because his opponent doesn't want to win. It was a stupid thing to say, and one of the many stupid things that I swear this guy is trying to get himself fired. Everything he says is like a kamikaze into an aircraft carrier. Just wants to be blown up. It's ugh. And also Golden Poop to Tom Watson. That's probably about enough of that for a while. That's just kind of enough. Back to Bama and Cage Warriors, friend.
Dude, I totally disagree on Lamas checking out mentally. That's just wrong.
I don't even think he was checked into the fight mentally to check out of it.
People who are checked out of a fight don't come back and win the fifth round after getting your ass whooped for four rounds.
No one could have won round five against Jose Aldo.
Especially against a non-gazed Aldo.
Ben, that's called everybody who fights Jose Aldo. Hominick won the fifth, and he was about to give birth out of his forehead.
Yes. Hominick didn't check out, and Lamas didn't check out, man.
Lamas was pretty checked out.
I disagree, but okay.
Yeah, of course you do.
If he would a guy who's wrestling
I agree with
been
you,
the
man.
Key to his success to sit there and your most effective offense of the fight is spinning wheel kicks that you whiffed on 55 times? How is that being at all into the fight?
Lamas looked like he tried for something in the first round. He got frustrated, and then he just like, "Welp, plan A is gone, and he has no plan B." I'm just gonna chill on the outside.
Disagree. I mean, when he almost had the takedown, he had him elevated, and he just like balanced on the cage like a.
That was the craziest.
That was awesome. I mean, by the way.
He crowd can't was going get much nuts. Of a better takedown attempt than that, and the crowd Aldo just was does that insane nuts. Madness that got yeah, that, overshadowed. That should have been talked about more.
That was nuts.
Honorary Golden Duck was for Bogatinov giving Lineker a thumbs down while he was on a leg
that
lock
was
to end it. I said I'm a big John Lineker guy, but holy shit, that was amazing! Just the flexing and then the thumbs down to Lineker
was
pretty
amazing,
pretty emasculating. How'd it come off? How'd that come off live, Ben?
Oh my god! First of all, the crowd got a mad kick out of it. I was like, I started laughing. I'm like, why are you going for a leg lock on a combat sambo guy? A bunch of people around us were laughing because. Surprisingly, I was surrounded by a couple of people who were knowledgeable, but the rest sucked and were meatheads. So those guys laughed, and everyone else was like, "Huh?"
Nolan?
Let's go ahead and take this train another direction so Nolan can't talk for 10 minutes.
What?
Yeah, because we need that. We certainly do. Yeah, this fight card is pretty disappointing as a whole. Golden Duck, I'd have to go Hannah Burrell. I thought Aldo's performance was great, but Burrell, He just proved that the only thing he has left, and that might not be much of anything left as it is now, is Dominic Cruz. Still, you know,
the zombie of Dominic
Cruz. You don't make Uriah Faber look like that. You just don't. Title fight Faber is still a tough dude. You know, as evidenced by his fights with Mike Brown and Jose Aldo, he can take a beating, but he'll still stay in the fight. And he just annihilated Faber, who was supposed to have improved stand-up. What can you say, Hannon Brow? I am sold, finally. I've not been Hannon Brow's biggest supporter. I am completely sold on the guy. I am in the Hannon Brow era. Golden Poop.
He's everything you wanted John Lineker to be.
Nosferatu?
Yeah. Did any of you read...
Golden Poop, Nolan?
Yeah. One out of ten. Let me note that how great it feels to no-sell a Josh Hall joke on this podcast. let me just note that. Golden Poop goes to Dana White. Jose Aldo, I think, had the most beautiful technical performance of the night. He showed that he could certainly be pound for pound, you know, best champion in the UFC with that kind of performance. Shows the gulf between him and everyone else. His technique, absolutely stunning. Brilliant performance technically. And for as much Dana White claims to like that sort of stuff, he totally buried Aldo for...
No-sold that performance.
Yeah, he no-sold the performance, exactly. You know, I don't know what he wants. Does he want him to start fighting like Abel Trujillo or Jamie Varner now?
Yes.
No, Dana is the Just Bleed guy.
That is true. For a guy who claimed he's so appreciative of technique, that Aldo, you know, he isn't the same Aldo in the sense that he's annihilating Bush League WEC guys anymore, and that's because he's in the UFC. He's getting the best competition available. You know, the featherweight division has fully flourished in the UFC, and it's disheartening to hear the figurehead of the sport talk like that, but... Plus that's where we are.
Because he kind of finished two of his four fights.
I'd like to stay in Newark, which is surely something that no one really has ever said in their right mind. But what did you think of the stoppage in the Barao Faber fight, Ben?
I was okay with it. I mean, he didn't move. And that's my biggest issue. Like, when guy like... It's a little weird because it's inconsistent, in my opinion. Because remember when in the Brock Carwin fight, Lesnar wasn't moving; he was just covering up, and the punches were bouncing off his arms, and he wasn't landing. But Herb let it. It was Herb Dean, right?
No, that was not Herb Dean.
It was Rosenthal, maybe.
Yep. I believe that was Rosenthal.
God, I want to say.
Okay, I take that back. But usually Herb will let it go, but I am okay with it because he was knocked down twice. He was badly hurt. Yeah, I'm okay with it. It definitely was a little early, though. I guess that's the best way to put it. I'm not going to complain about it. There are definitely worse stoppages, but...
I will say, does anyone disagree with the stoppage?
No.
If anything, it could have been a little bit earlier. I think
I really wouldn't have cared if he stepped
in a couple of seconds earlier, it wouldn't have been bad. I mean, Faber was covering up, but I had no problem with it.
I agree with it. You don't need to, you know, knock somebody unconscious to get a stoppage. Sometimes you can just have them in a dangerous position. You know, was Faber going to, you know, be knocked senseless? No, probably not. But he would be spending another 2 to 3 minutes eating punches in that position. And sometimes you just have to just say, well, he had me in a bad position. I couldn't fight it off. And that's a win. Especially if you're not doing, you know, enough protecting. Herb will let something go. Herb let Overeem Travis Brown go.
Yeah, and all it was he wanted movement, you know?
Uriah, do something. Move a, you know, move a shoulder up. You know,
a thumbs up is not the proper defense,
no,
right there.
No.
And you know, a thumbs up behind the leg where the referee can't see.
Just do something, Uriah. So Dana says that Aldo and Pettis is all but booked at 155 for the title. Ben, what do you think about that?
Great. I mean, there's no fights that I really care to see Aldo have at 145 again. Maybe Chad Mendes, but not really. I mean, I'd much rather see him go up, not vacate the title, because why the fuck do they need him to vacate the title?
If he wins, he needs to vacate the title.
What?
If he wins, he needs to vacate the title.
Oh, that, no, that I agree with completely. But
yeah, giving Aldo two straps is icing two belts worse than having people on Tough for three seasons in a row the way he gets injured.
Yeah, that is both.
Connor, what do you think?
I like that fight. I'd be curious to see if they do a tournament for the featherweight title, and I'd be interested to see who they do it with. I think it'll be a fun fight, and I feel like Pettis would get destroyed, and I can't wait to see that happen. So I wholeheartedly agree with Nate Diaz's rant, just FYI.
That's what we call a moment of clarity when you agree with a Nate Diaz rant right there. I really think Mendez needs another crack at Aldo. And that being said, I don't dislike the Aldo Pettis fight at all. I think it'll be great. I hope it happens on the 4th of July card. I think that would be great. I'd love to go see that. But I really, really, really think Chad Mendes has earned another shot at Aldo. And that's, you know, I think that's the fight I want to see first. If he beats Chad Mendes, there's literally no one else for him to fight that is really has a name, has earned it to the level of Mendes. He's the only guy left.
BJ Penn!
No.
For the love of God.
Oh, God.
For the love of Cthulhu.
Well, no. We better skip Luke before he gets on the Frankie Edgar.
I was just going to say what they can do is they can let Aldo, if he beats Chad Mendes, he can go fight Anthony Pettis. If he beats Anthony Pettis, he can drop the featherweight title, keep the lightweight title. Dana can go and show up with the title belt on Frankie Edgar's doorstep and hand it to him because he wants to so bad, and that would be fine. But I really want to see the Mendes fight.
The title belt that he never lost in the first place. Josh Hall.
Never had that belt. It's the featherweight title. Well, he never had at any point.
They all look ever. The same.
They are the same looking belt.
Frankie Edgar should be a 3-division champion.
Heavyweight, super heavyweight, super cluck.
Super cluck champion for sure.
Speaking of weights, really quick, Anthony Johnson's coming back to UFC. He was in the building and backstage, and that's going to be awesome.
It's going to be hilarious.
Well, at the very least, we're going to do big
things. It's going to be hilarious when he misses
the back at it, because backstage being the catering, for sure.
Yeah, there were a lot of cookies back there.
Got that sweet Zuffa catering again. Watch out.
They had a lot of good food back there, I saw.
Josh, thoughts?
I'm fine with Aldo going up to fight Pettis now. I mean, I'd like to see him fight Mendes again, but he finished him in the first round the first time, so he doesn't necessarily owe him a rematch before he goes up.
And it was totally clean.
If he vacates the title,
he wasn't dominating the round until then.
If he vacates the title, shut up, Ben. If he vacates the title, then you can put Mendes in there against, knowing the UFC, probably the winner of Edgar Penn for the next featherweight champion. But I wouldn't make him vacate the title unless he wins the lightweight title first. I don't think that there's any reason he should have to drop back in line for going up for a super fight. That's just silly.
I'd prefer Aldo stay at 145. I know there's not a glut of names for him there, except for probably Mendes again, the winner of Edgar Penn, maybe Cub Swanson if he gets another win under his belt. But, man, there's still a logjam at lightweight. It's still a mess. You know, TJ Grant is still asleep on his money pillow, waiting for a title shot that he earned. You know, Nurmagomedov, depending on whoever he fights, is probably only a win away. Bendo's probably earned his way back, or at least one fight away from it, which pains me to say. Nate Diaz thinks he's a fight away, which is adorable. But you know, there's more than a, and you know, you can, and Pettis gets hurt every other day. I mean, there's way too much going on there. So and Aldo coming up just muddles it up and makes 145 that much less relevant. Nolan?
Yeah, I kind of like the 145, although I think there's a decent amount of guys for him there. You know, Mendez rematch. I think Swanson deserves a rematch at this point. Maybe get rid of those guys first and maybe have him fight Edgar Penn, winner, unfortunately. Lightweight's a log. You got a lot of guys up there, Nurmagomedov. Melendez is probably a fight away.
Yeah, forgot about Gil.
You know, guys are moving into the top 10 or getting near there. Barbosa could be there against – if he beats a guy like Cerrone in his next fight. There's a bunch of guys at lightweight, and Aldo potentially jamming that is – I mean, I'm not against the fight itself, but the havoc it could wreak on the divisions is kind of meh. So we'll see. I think it'll be a fun fight if it happens, but you know, two injury prone guys, and we'll see. Super fights don't usually work out too well for the UFC.
All right, lads, that'll do it for this week, or they'll do it for today. We will have a show on Wednesday. We'll be without the hosting services of one Connor Dillon, but we will somehow finagle, film through enough potatoes to make it work. So thank you all for the 10:30 start. We will be back Wednesday, same bad time, same bad channel, 10 o'clock on the Eastern Standard, the one standard time that does matter. So thanks for tuning in. We'll catch you then.